Welcome to Wild and Awake, an online retreat where you deepen your consciousness, arouse your courage, and choose with wisdom. We are exploring the question, how do I live my best life right now? I am your host, Kari Vantine.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Wild and Awake. And I am so appreciative today to have Tom Garcia. Tom, welcome.
Thank you, Kari.
It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to be here today.
I'm really excited to have you here. I'm going to share a little bit about Tom first so we can all have a sense of who you are, and then we'll jump into our questions.
Okay.
Dr. Tom Garcia is a shaman, medicine man, and wisdom keeper living in the mountains of Durango, Colorado. He bridges ancient shamanic practices with universal laws and addresses the deep need for deep healing so crucial in our culture today. After 30 years in chiropractic and the healing arts, Tom understands that the mind creates the conditions expressed in the body and in life. Through coaching, writing, and teaching, Tom shares a perspective that comes from a practice of deep listening. His ability to create safe, sacred space allows people to find their true voice and reclaim the memory of who they are and why they are here. His gentle presence and clear guidance leads them past self-doubt and uncertainty to clarity and peace. Tom's relationship with fire, expressed in the ceremony of beauty and power, draws people into the light of their own wisdom and authenticity. And Tom, I'm especially drawn to your work with fire, so that will definitely be something that we're going to play with today and talk about today. I'd love to start us off in what is a kind of tender part, and you and I talked a little bit about this earlier, and I feel like everyone knows me at this point. I dive right in, so we're going to dive right in here to the heart, which is often when we begin our deep work and our deep discovery work, we're coming from, there's a reason for it. And all these people who are watching and listening to us today, my guess is many of them are up against something, and it might be kids leaving home or loss of a job or a change of job or retirement or life changes or becoming older, right? There's these things that become these catalysts and these doorways. And I know that my big catalyst was actually the loss of several really important people in my life. And when you and I were talking, you expressed that your doorway opened in a really similar way. Would you mind just starting in that super vulnerable, real place and sharing like how this began for you?
Yes, thank you for asking that, you know, to start at that place, because that for me was, I call it now a crucible moment, a turning point. And I know we all have those in our lives, several of them often. And for me, it was the whole of my life leading up to this time when a really dear friend of mine came to live with us, and he spent the last 18 months of his life in our home. And he and I were great friends. We would backpack together, mountain climb, hike, hang out at the fire. You know, we met in a men's group, a men's circle. That's how we connected. And so when he was getting sick, my wife and I said to his family, we want to bring him into our home. His name is Jim. And we thought we could nurse him back to health. And instead, he declined. And we knew 3 months in, we were seeing this through to the end. And so it was this amazing experience of watching someone I loved withdraw from life, you know, and at times not want to be alive, and also being terrified of death. And so, you know, I think of my wife and I as having walked him to the precipice to see him off. And it was a beautiful thing how we took care of him. People would come to visit. And when he passed, we washed his body and wrapped him in white linen and draped sarongs over his body and marigolds and sage, sweetgrass, tobacco, and kept his body for 3 days. And people would come to the house to sit with him in the room that he stayed in. And my wife turned it into a shrine with his musical instruments and pictures of his family and mementos and sacred objects that were, you know, dear to him. And then I kept his ashes for 5 years in a lodge out in the woods that I built next to my fire circle. And then his former wife finally asked for the ashes for his daughter. And I said, well, I've been waiting for you to take them. And just prior to that, I'd had a dream. And the dream was the bones have to go. And I thought that meant all, you know, I had collected deer bones and elk bones and vertebrae and antlers. I had all these things. And I went,
all your decorations.
I took them all back to the woods. I put them in the woods, but not Jim's ashes. And that's what it was. So something, I say this, something happened to me. Something was awakened in me. Something was catalyzed in me, and I started going to the woods early in the morning before sunrise and in the evening at sunset. And I would make an altar and make a fire and kneel and pray. I come from a Catholic background, but I turned away from the church like when I was 13. So I didn't really know what I was doing, except something in me had me lay out an altar, make a fire, kneel and pray. And I would open my journal and I'd wait for the sun to rise in the morning, or just for it to get good and cold at night. And then I started staying out all night, and I'd sleep on the ground, run barefoot, you know, through the woods, just connecting with the earth and connecting with the spirit of something that was moving through me. And eventually, it seemed sudden, but it'd been built, it came a long time ago. Was my voice. A voice came to me, and it was clear, clear as a bell. And I knew it was distinct. And then in the fires that I would make, a ceremony began to come through me. And it's continued to this day. There was a time when I was afraid it would all go away. Like I would wake up one morning and I just wouldn't feel like going to the fire anymore. The voice wasn't there, but it that didn't happen. It got stronger, and I understood it was because I was cultivating a relationship with it. So it got really strong and really clear, and it's remained that way today. And it's been 15 years since my friend passed away. So that's what's brought me to this. It set me on a path, and I've been on this path ever since. And it's a shamanic path. It's a medicine path. It's a path of wisdom and spirit. And there I am.
Thank you for the vulnerability of sharing that story. It's powerful. Yeah. And I'm guessing that many other people who are present with us watching this are feeling that moment and feeling their own moment that connects with it, right? And these places where we've lost someone, or we've lost something, or we've lost an aspect of self or identity or our sense of value, right? It can be on a lot of levels that I see over and over again as being a threshold.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of choice about what we do at that threshold. And I've seen, and I'm sure you have too, seen people going into a place of numbing out, or going into the system, buying into the system more, going into more, trying to not feel that pain. And then I see others standing at the doorway saying, oh my goodness, I think maybe there's something more.
Yeah.
And I know from being present to what you offer that you're standing on that threshold, saying that regularly with people, that there's something more. There's something more. Why do you think, and I bet we probably have close to the same answer, but why do you think this threshold comes up when we've got lost like this? What is it like? What's going on?
I believe that the spirit in us brings us to that threshold. And when we're ready through a series of events or a catalyst of an event, suddenly the threshold becomes apparent, or we see it, you know.
Because it's not like the threshold wasn't there. I mean, that's the thing. It's always there.
It's always there. And then the question is, do I cross the threshold? I wrote a piece recently about, you have the key and the door is open. And the key is forgiveness and the door is acceptance. Mm. And we have only to cross the threshold. It's just a choice to cross the threshold. And there's surrender and there's trust and there's deep gratitude for what's brought us to the threshold. And how I hold myself and my work, I say I'm a gatekeeper. My guides told me that. They said, you are a gatekeeper. And they've given me deeper and deeper access to these, I don't know what you'd call them, levels of consciousness, awareness, secrets of the universe, universal wisdom that's available. It's always available, but we have to meet its conditions before we can receive it. Mm. So it's not like we just go and take it, appropriate it, apprehend it, and then use it. We have to be prepared in a way, be prepared and meet its conditions before it becomes available to us. And it's that's sacred. That is sacred work. And it's not just given away to anybody who would misuse it. Mm. If I could say it that way. Yeah. So we recognize, you know, we're brought to the threshold through an event or a series of events, loss. Usually it's loss. And the ego is temporarily undone.
Yeah. Undone. That ego, right? Undoing the ego and unhooking it for a moment. So there's space for something else.
Yeah. And in my work, I mean, we all have egos. My ego's eavesdropping all the time. And I'll say, come over here. And I talk to the corner of the camera. Your ego's listening. But I wanted to, and it doesn't like that I'm telling you this, but I'm going to tell you this, you know, and whatever it is, you know, to say. And so in my work, you know, especially when we work at the fire, it's very clear the ego is, we leave the ego at the door. We hang it on an antler over there and come in. And so I don't care who you are, where you're from, how much money you make, who you are in the world. We are on a level playing field here, you know, which is refreshing. You know, it's a relief, actually.
Which is also what happens with great loss and change, is I think there's a recognition of the leveling of the playing field, right?
Yeah.
The sense of here we are. I had a cancer scare about 4 years ago that just brought me to my knees. You know, it's like, oh, that's right. How much time do I have here? And here I am. I'm very healthy and I've got a vital, hopefully long life ahead of me. But it was one of those doorways that was like, oh, that's right. There's the veil falls away, the ego falls away, and here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah.
It feels like that takes me right to another thing that I find just deeply powerful about you, which is that your pathway of learning and learning about shamanic practices, but also learning about this inner realm of yours wasn't through taking classes or books. It was actually through just the experiencing. Could you share a little bit about that and why that is different than having learned from a book or taking a class? Like, why, you know, probably would have gotten a lot of the same information, but something really I'm experiencing you is something different happened.
Yeah. Well, there's a series of things, tools, if you will, the fire, elemental, primal, ancient, fire, and listening to the fire, being present to the fire, being silent in the space of the fire, reverent, and then ceremony, ritual, creating space, sacred space for something out of the ordinary, the unconventional, creative, you know, and being on the earth under the open sky. Plant medicine is a tool. Journaling, sacred journaling, is a tool. And listening, you know, listening for your voice, however it occurs, whether it's an intuitive hit, For me, it's through my journaling primarily, but I also hear it in my mind. And it directs me to books or movies or other people. It brought me to you. And then we have this exchange and it's like, ah, that's exactly what I needed to hear, as we did earlier. So it's several tools that all come together. It's not, mm-hmm. it's not any one thing. And then the practice, a practice every day of connecting with my creator, with God, with source, every single day. I don't miss a day. It's that important. It's a priority.
I want to touch on that, but then I'm going to go back in a moment. When you're talking about creator and spirit, and how, you know, I'm guessing that people who are listening to this, different people have different answers for what, or different faces of God, spirit, rise, as we say those words.
Yeah.
How do you help people listen or encourage people to listen? I know you have something, I think you called it the gold thread or the gold vessel or something around like the essence of coming to the hearing spirit speak to you or be with you. Like that place is not a given for most people. We're right. sort of like floating around in this world where maybe, you know, people go to church on Sunday or they sit in front of their altar or they meditate or they have, you know, different forms of practices to different belief systems. What it sounds like you're talking about something that's really personal and not something fabricated in a church. Could you right. say a little more about that?
Yeah. And you also asked me earlier about what I heard was direct experience.
Yes. Yes.
Having direct experience. So that's all the things I mentioned before, the fire and the ceremony and the plant medicine and journaling and being in silence, being on the earth. Those all give me, they set the stage for direct experience.
Yes.
And I believe that's what we're hungry for. Mm-hmm. So we've all been, you know, I don't ever mean to proselytize or evangelize, but we're born into a Judeo-Christian construct.
Or those of us actually in this hemisphere. Because there's probably yes. people listening to us who are in different parts of the world, and that's exciting to me. So
yes.
we get to speak from our experience right here that most of us who are living in this part of the continent or this part of the world, this is
yes.
our experience.
Yeah, and I can only speak to that experience for me. That's the world I was steeped in, and that I everywhere I look, I see that we're steeped in that. So we're given things before we even had a chance, before we had any say. And I think what I see with people and what I saw within myself was pushing against that backdrop. You know, I do have people in my world that say, I didn't grow up with any religion, so I don't have any of that. And I'm like, oh, lucky you. You know, you don't have that particular handicap, and you don't have that particular reference point in a positive sense. So it's not all negative by any means. But this notion of having direct experience and utilizing lots of different resources, like, for example, not just the Bible, mm-hmm. in my approach, what I say about with my fire ceremony, I say, there's no religion here at the fire. So all religions are welcome. I've had people from all different religions join me and sing their songs and say their prayers and share their chants, their perspectives. And I love it. I absolutely love it because they come in peace, you know?
Yeah.
So the capacity, the decision to devote oneself to a discipline, like a holy discipline that creates a rhythm, a ritual, a sacred space that allows for presence for the awareness of presence. Like that. And I will sometimes, almost every day, say, I invite the presence into my awareness, and I invite my awareness into the presence, and I just be real quiet and just feel the presence. to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
And that becomes part of my prayer. Did that answer your question?
It did. It did. And I'm going to follow that thread just a little further, because I know that when you're sitting in circle with people at a fire, you've spoken about there being like a seventh sense, which is the connecting to spirit or something.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that seventh sense? Because we're right in that territory right now. And I'm aware, like, taking the attention away from like who it is we're praying to or asking, but actually what is coming from in here? Like, what do we hone in here that has access? And yeah. I love that, you know, your reference to the seventh sense.
So, you know, we have our five senses and then our sixth sense, our intuitive sense. And it came to me that our seventh sense is our ability to listen for the divine. But it's like any of our other senses. It has to be cultivated. It must be cultivated. And it's not like that. It could be just like that. But for most of us, there's so much noise, there's so much outer world distraction and chaos in our lives that our ability to listen with that seventh sense capacity is diminished, or it's just undeveloped. So it takes time. It takes devotion. It takes a certain discipline, not military discipline, just a willingness every day to listen for it. Everywhere. Not just in the morning time, but everywhere throughout the day, and to pay attention, really to pay attention. And I always say, when you see a sign, take it, you know, instead of like, was that a sign? I don't know. It's like, take it. It's a sign. Call it, you know, yes, I'm on
it
track.
Came into your awareness. Yes.
Yeah.
But the direct experiencing part of what I love about your journey is that those years that you spent really honing and learning to listen, learning to listen. And I wanted to share that in my late 30s, I had an illness, and I actually went to the woods for about 7 years. I lived in a log cabin by myself and on a lake, and it was I had that experience of learning to re-listen again. I had known how to listen as a child, but as an adult, learning to re-listen again, learning to listen, turning off the media, getting off the phone. I was fortunate or unfortunate that I didn't have cell service where I was. So it was really easy to unhook and learning how to listen to the spirit. You spoke earlier, the spirit of the land, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like the spirit of the land, the spirit of the trees, the energy that's coming through, which makes so much sense that the earth-based spiritual practices are revering the land and the trees and the water and the earth and the fire and the elements, because of when we actually, or at least my experience, when we get off grid, get off the grids, get off the all the power dynamics, all of the social dynamics, and are actually present to nature in that way, there's almost as though nature wants, my experience is nature wants me to listen, wants me to understand, wants me to be connected.
I love what you're saying. It parallels my experience too of, you know, over 15 years, the first 10 were in the woods primarily alone. I mean, I have a home and a wife and four kids, so I had a practice, I had a life, but I went to the woods as often as I could to be alone, to get away from, you know, microwaves, cell waves, electric grids, and like all that you said, so I could listen, I could send up my own antenna and listen for what was mine to hear. And I say we all have what's ours to hear that only we can listen for. No one can listen for us. That's our sacred duty, a sacred obligation. And to give ourselves that space, even in a city, we just have to do the best we can to find a patch of grass, a patch of sky, a tree, a place, because the spirit is everywhere. And I think in some places it feels more concentrated As I was saying, where I live, it feels concentrated, like it lives in the woods right by my fire. And when I go there, I can feel it. And it's right there. I've seen it. I've had sightings, you know, like visual. And I'm like, oh, it didn't scare me. It was, oh, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm welcome here. I come in peace. I come humbly and with good intention. And nature will show itself in non-ordinary ways. You probably had similar experience.
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. Nature in her non-ordinary ways. Absolutely. And, you know, this, I think the learning to listen and learning to set down the idea that I had the answers.
Yeah.
Right. Down that I and my ego as this educated human have the answers, and actually see what nature or earth or the elements or the bigger I is wanting to show.
Yeah.
Tom, you've touched a few times on your fire pit. And so I wanted to say, I know that you're doing rituals with people with the fire, and you've really chosen the fire as the element to do work through. And we could have chosen water, we could have chosen earth, we could have chosen other elements, and you've chosen the fire. What is it about the fire? And I can just see in you, like, I say fire and you get lit up. So what's about the fire?
I get lit up. Yeah. It's so funny how you phrase that, because the fire chose me is how it feels. You know, just like I say, the spirit of this land took me by the nape of the neck, pulled me out, and dragged me into the woods and plopped me down, and in effect said, make a fire. Mm-hmm. So just a sidebar, you know what I often tell my clients is, make a circle and put a fire in it. Make a circle and put a fire in it. If you're struggling, if you don't know which way to turn, you don't know what to do next, establish that connection with that which created you, make a circle and put a fire in it and start communicating with it. That's the fire just makes that so available, because it's primal. It's, you know, my fire pits, how I build them, or how I'm guided to build them, is they're ovoid. So they're a feminine space. And the fire's masculine. And I know that my fire circles are, I say, ruled by the feminine. I'm on the earth. Yeah. I'm on this creative platform with creation all around me. That's feminine. And the feminine.
You have a nice mix of both men and women coming to your circles too, which mm-hmm. I find really beautiful.
Yeah. And they're all in various stages of awakening, as we all are. I mean, we're all in our own. And that's what's so humbling about it. It's just always more to go. Journey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we get to share this journey together, which is so, it's so beautiful, and it's such a privilege. And, you know, for me, I'm an elder now, and I've had the experiences I've had. And now I can shepherd others. I can guide others to their own awakening. And once someone experiences their own awakening, that's direct experience. That's revelatory. They cannot unsee that. They cannot go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. They might try, but it doesn't work very well. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get grabbed by the nape of the neck and pulled.
Yeah.
When you're sitting around the fire with people, you actually, there's a little offering of love. If you would share this with those of us who are here with you. So I'd like everyone to imagine that we're sitting around the fire, and Tom, you're here, and we've got this beautiful burning fire, and it's becoming dusk, and the sky is filled with stars, and the trees are whispering, and
yeah.
And we've been with the fire for a while, and you have three questions. And would you mind asking us those three questions in a way? And if everybody here could just take this in and be slow, quiet, drop into yourself, and let our imaginary fire be a real fire.
Yeah. So when we come to the fire, I use sage to bless everyone. in, and then I do what's called lay down the circle, mm-hmm. beginning in the east, and I say words we all recognize, like peace and love and joy and beauty and power and remembering who we are. And I use cornmeal, salt, and tobacco to lay a boundary, an offering, mm-hmm. A blessing. And I'm reclaiming the language, mm-hmm. powerful language, sacred language that I'm taking it back. That's the word reclaim, to take back. And then welcome the direction. So I've opened sacred space that we're all in together. And inside of which miracles can happen and questions arise. And the three questions that they came to me at the fire, and they've directed the course of my work and my path and have guided me. And the three questions are these. The first one is, who are you? The second is, why are you here? And the third is, who sent you? Who are you? Why are you here? And who sent you? What I've discovered is, when we know who sent us, we know who we are and why we're here. And in my work with people at the fire, when someone's ready to commit themselves, to devote themselves to something, to give their allegiance, and they're ready to do that, I stop them a moment and say, to whom do you pledge your allegiance? And sometimes someone will say right off, God. Like, tell me about your God. Tell me about your relationship with your God. I want to know your God. Would you share that with me? And it stops them, because then they start to articulate what that means for them, maybe for the first time ever. And it's a very powerful moment. And I usually have a basket of herbs, sage, sweetgrass, tobacco, cedar and pine, lavender, kapal, rose petals, and they take a big pinch to make their offering. And I know it's all symbolic, and appreciate the symbolism. And it's a way of connecting deeply like that, and to pledge our allegiance, and to say who we are and why we're here, to declare that, maybe for the first time.
Yeah. I think those three questions are some of the deepest, biggest questions. You know, many people who come probably to both of us, or to, you know, anyone who's, I would say, watching this right now is probably asking those questions on some level, and maybe mm-hmm. they've answered them on one tier, but in this invitation, I'd love to ask that everyone who's watching this right now just drops in and gives yourself the time, whether it's during the time of this, watching this video, or afterwards, to be with those three questions. Like, I think those questions are what informs, changes, up-levels, gives depth to our living experience.
Yeah. They never go away. We're always, I feel, called to answer at a deeper and deeper level with more awareness, mm-hmm. all the awareness I can bring at any point in time, to answer again, who am I? I've actually been going through that recently all over again. Like, who am I? And do I have the courage to say and to show up that way in every way? Especially as, you know, with social media and mm-hmm. exposure like this, you know, just to simply show up as a man on a spiritual path who calls himself a shaman and a medicine man and a wisdom keeper.
Yes.
I did not get a certificate with a gold foil on it that said, you are now a shaman. It came to me at the fire. They told me, my guides told me. And for many, many years, I'm like, I don't even know what that means. But now I do.
And in another culture and time, we would never have gotten a gold foil on our certificate. No. There would not have been certificates. You would have been born into, you know, a family or a village or a town in which it was recognized that your connection was something to be honed and to be grown, nurtured.
Yeah. You'd be initiated.
Be initiated. And I'd say those questions, you know, the who are you? All of us, when we're asking that, it's like, the who are you? You might have an answer like Tom has here, but it might also be that there isn't a word for the thing you are yet, right? There isn't actually a word, but that doesn't mean it isn't valid. It isn't full. It isn't something for you to lean into. So my invitation, as we answer these questions, to also notice that our society gives us like all of these sort of, you know, shopping carts that we can pull from. I am this. This is what I'm up to. This is who's my, you know, guidance. And it's like these questions. And this is why I love that you do this around the fire as well, because I feel like it just brings us back to the elemental. So these questions are not from the shopping cart. No. Questions are deep in here.
I want to add something that's really important, is who you are and why you're here. These are memories. Who sent you? It's a memory. It's reclaiming an ancient memory and creating spaciousness, clearing the space in our minds and our hearts so that the memory can return to us. It's a memory. And it's within each of us, that memory of who we are. And it joins us.
And I'll just play with that for a moment, that sense of memory is maybe this lifetime, maybe older than this lifetime, maybe connected to bigger arcs of knowing that, people are going to find their way, but we're asking the question right now for folks. And as I hear you in your practice, Tom, there's a sense that that you're not imposing on what people are already going to be. And I want everyone to hear that in the circle here. It's like, there's really this invitation for you to do this deep personal question. We're both asking you to do this right now. The deep personal question, who are you? Mm-hmm.
Let it percolate. Mm-hmm. And be not so quick to arrive at an answer. It can take some time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's no imposition, ever. I always say, find your way, know your way, know your way. Not mine. Know your way. Like that.
And that if people were looking to find their way, would you say that that's through spiritual guidance? That's through, how do people find their way?
By deepening and strengthening their relationship with their creator in their own way. Carving out the time every day to sit, to be quiet. I read A Course in Miracles. I read The Four Agreements. I read work by Paul Farini, Unconditional Love. He's written many books. I read channeled material. I love channeled material. And I have a great ear for what's authentic, because we're all channels, really. We're channeling the creative life force through us. And reading, listening, cultivating that relationship, praying, pulling on your faith, whatever your faith is, to pull on the best parts of it. Every single day.
You answered the question through all of these, but one of the questions I'm asking all of the speakers on the series, and it feels like almost our whole conversation actually is the answer to it, but I'll ask it directly because I think it's good for people to hear. The title of the series is Wild and Awake, Living Your Best Life Right Now. So living our best life right now, what does that mean to you, and how does someone do that? And again, I think this whole conversation has been about that.
Yeah. You know, I thought I just gave the answer to that, you know, to strengthen your relationship with the Creator. I always point up, it's that vertical connection, not the horizontal connection, the vertical connection, but also living your best life now is to be present, to accept what is without strain, to relinquish your judgment, to suspend your judgment, to be more forgiving, more trusting, more willing to surrender. And one more thing. Just sitting knee to knee with people and letting them see your love for them in your eyes. It's very simple. And not so easy sometimes.
Not so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that piece you're talking about right now, like living our best life right now, having that be connected to another human. Right?
Connection.
Connection. Oh.
Yeah.
Human, it could be tree, it could be elements. We're speaking about other humans here, because I think in some way that's some of the hardest territory for us is as humans, is to have this deep, present, real, loving connection with other humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I was just thinking for a moment that peace is an attribute within us. Joy is an attribute within us. And we have only to meet the conditions for peace and joy that we have them. We don't have to go and get them. They're already within us. And being forgiving and trusting and surrendering ourselves to our higher power and being walking in deep gratitude for everything gives us access to peace and joy, which are already within us. I think that's all people really want.
I think it's what people want. Yeah. And it can look really different for different people. Like one person's joy might look really different from someone else's, but that's where the knowing of self comes to be really important. What does this one need and want? There's one more little piece I want to touch on, which is you had shared a little earlier about growing older. And so I just want to say, we're all growing older. Even if you're a young whippersnapper who's watching this right now, we're all growing older. It's part of what's happening. But you and I we're growing older. We're in a different phase in our lives than we were 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And the sense of identity shifts and changes, and the sense of our power and perhaps even our worth changes. We might be more valuable because we're an elder that's knowledgeable, and we might be less valuable because, or I would say in, you know, my role as a woman, like women, as we get older are valued less because we're not as, you know, attractive in some way. Like there's a lot of stories that come with getting older. And how are you walking that, and how would you encourage that walk? And we're just two real humans here sitting here. And there are a lot of people out there that are around our age who are listening to this saying, I'm not just beginning my life and being able to recreate myself. I'm not able to stop everything and become, you know, enlightened like you, Tom. So what do we do? What do we do right now with these aging, beautiful, precious bodies? What do you think?
Appreciate yourself. That's a good place to start. Just to appreciate this vessel through which your life force is expressed and all that's come with it. Every wrinkle, every crease has been earned. And I said this in practice with my patients, and it's as true today as it's ever been, is to what I call maintain the vessel. take really good care of your physical vessel. Not so much like a body-centered thing, mm-hmm. but more of taking care of your physiology, mm-hmm. which is what your body is a part of. So staying well hydrated, getting enough rest, knowing when to slow down, and eating well, cutting out alcohol to the greatest extent possible, sugar, white flour. No, these things, you may not 100%, but you know, most mm-hmm. of the time, and move. Mm-hmm. Move, exercise, walk.
Live in this body.
Stretch. Yeah, appreciate your body. Take good care of it, and mm-hmm. it'll serve you until the time comes when you have to lay it by. Yeah. And then it's time to get out with gratitude.
With gratitude.
Yeah.
This has been a real tender, powerful, beautiful conversation, Tom.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anything else that we haven't touched on that feels important for our listeners to know? And it's okay if there isn't. We've covered a really beautiful gamut.
We covered a lot in a very short period of time, mm-hmm. a whole arc. I feel like I've said
just about
everything I could want to say to somebody if they said, tell us about yourself, life, about me, you know. It's not about me, it's about them, you know. And you know, one thing I say too, every time I tell a story about my own life or my own experience, I always ask that you listen for your own story. Mm-hmm. Listen for your own, because we all have a story or many stories. And hearing someone else's story can stimulate our own awareness around our own story and valuing our own path through life. And that it's been for a purpose and a reason, and to ferret out what that is, and then to claim it for ourselves, to call it and appreciate this life.
That's beautiful. The listening for your own story within these sharings, actually here on Wild and Awake, that would be my wish for all of you listeners, that you're actually learning, growing, shifting, expanding, being more curious about yourself because of these conversations. That would be the territory that your own consciousness and life shifts and grows. Absolutely. Yeah. Tom, you have a beautiful gift that you've offered, and I'm so appreciative. It's the discovering your purpose gift. And thank you. So I encourage people to go to the link at the bottom of the page and grab that. You also have a really gorgeous website. I love all the images of fire. So I just want to say that makes me happy when I look at your page.
And thank you.
For those of you who are watching right now, just encouraging you to take what you can from our conversation today. We covered a lot. We covered a lot of really deep, tender places. And In the conversation of becoming more wild and awake, the concept being as we unhook from what we've been told we're supposed to be, and we also become more awake, not necessarily enlightened or by anyone else's standards, but awake within yourself. Your own experience of your life becomes deeper, richer, fuller. So Tom, I want to really thank you for being our guest here today, for all the gifts of you, your story, your vision, your knowledge that you've shared with us. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And I want to thank all of our listeners for being here today too, for the bravery and the boldness it takes to listen to new ideas and to try them on. And enjoy your day. Aloha.